Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Anyone has any cell phones or other audible devices, if you'd silence them now, is not to disrupt the meeting, we'd appreciate it. If you'd please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Yes.
Next up on this morning's agenda is the approval of the agenda for February the 18th, 2020. Mr. Osborne, do we have any changes or corrections to make to today's agenda?
I do not, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Ms. Bart.
I'd like to ask that item number Roman numeral 4 under the consent agenda be moved to the regular agenda.
All right. Under consent, that's what you're talking about?
Yes.
All right, thank you. All right, so any other public comment? All right, hearing none, if I can go ahead and get a motion to approve today's agenda and pulling item Roman numeral 4 from the consent agenda to be heard individually.
I make a motion to approve today's consent agenda, or today's agenda with item number 4 from the consent agenda put onto the regular agenda.
I'll second your meeting.
You second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right, moving along now to item number 4. Why don't we go ahead and we'll hear item Roman numeral 4 first. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? None? Okay. So Roman numeral 4 under the consent agenda is for possible action to appoint Scott Joelcover to the Story County Board of Equalization pursuant to NRS 361.340 for a four-year term. All right. So Ms. Bard, you asked for this to be heard individually, so do you have comments on this?
Nicole Bart, Story County resident. I just have a question on it, and I love and respect Scott. Did this position for this committee or this, did it get posted? How was he selected and appointed?
The selection process is we go over a list of persons who might be interested in doing this, and then they're contacted individually, and then upon the recommendation of staff, we go ahead and make that decision.
How would anyone know that a position is open to submit their interest to you to be considered if it's not posted? I would have an interest. I didn't even know it was open. Again, nothing against Scott. It's just a question of why don't these things become public? Why don't people know about it? Why can't people apply for it and be considered?
Well, it's different than like the Planning Commission, where there's the posting process and that. The Board of Equalization is a body that only meets twice a year and only if necessary.
But I still have the same questions. How?
Well, go ahead, Austin. You want to weigh in?
All right, Ms. Bard. This was an item with the departure of Laura, who was on that. There was not much time. It come to my attention last week, and to find somebody who understood property and values in the area, this was the method that was chosen and brought to me. This is something we can look at into this and other positions. I'd be happy to and see if there is another way we'd like to look at posting. This does only meet once a year, February, I think 26th or 28th is the time that they meet. And we have to get someone in for that meeting. So for the next round, be happy to take a look.
So this will stand, and you won't take applications for it?
If this,
but you understand my point.
Yeah, if this were to go any further, there won't be someone on the board for this year's equalization. There was a deadline that had to be met.
So you can't appoint an interim until you appoint a permanent. This is a four-year term, yeah. So.
Well, as Austin's pointed out, time is of the essence. We meet next week, so it isn't like we had a long period of time to go ahead and go through any type of process.
Okay, same thing, but if you've got the same thing going on with the comptroller. You're going to appoint an interim until you find the right person. Again, my point being that there are many of these committees and other sitting groups that never seem to make it to the light of day where, you know, we have a lot of people in this county that may be interested. If nobody applies, you will have done your job, made it public, and I won't be up here asking
this question. Mr. Chairman, there, I'll let Keith speak legally, but if the board were to determine go for an interim, I don't see there would be an issue for that. The person could serve this year, and then it could go public for the next rest of the remaining four-year term. And I would look to Keith on anything otherwise legal as far as what options are on the table and how it's agendized. Thank you.
Well, I think that the appointment of an interim person to serve is an option that the board has at present, and if that's the board's choice, I think you can do that.
And then we could post it for a regular fourth-year term and let everybody in the county. It's my understanding that applicants also do not need to be residents of the county for this board.
Correct.
It does provide that the nominations for the position will be made by the chair of the Board of County Commissioners.
Okay. So any other public comment on this item? It's a pleasure of the board.
I personally don't have an issue as far as putting Scott on there as an interim.
I agree.
Okay. With that, then, I will move to appoint Scott Jolfeber to serve 1 year, and then we can repost for the balance of that term, which will be 3 years after this year is concluded.
Is that your motion?
Yes.
I'll second.
It's been moved to second. Do we have an appoint Scott Jolfeber to serve 1 year on the Story County Board of Equalization? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, we'll go ahead and get that posting going right away.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Osborne. All right. Moving along now to item number 5. Discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. We'll start on the right side of the room with Sheriff Antonoro. All righty. We'll move along with operations over at Public Works. Mike Northam.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
I'm not used to seeing the fire marshal on this side, so I'll call in Martin Acevedo.
Good morning. Martin Acevedo, Story County Fire Marshal. Just one thing. We had a public meeting in the BC Highlands regarding fire prevention in the wildland, people clearing their properties. We had an arborist come in and kind of instruct people how the correct way to trim their trees and their shrubs and things like that. We talked about, fire prevention in your home, space heaters, electrical cords, and how they start quite a few fires during the winter. The fire department, Don Snyder, he came in and talked about clearing the properties and things like that. He used the ladder fuels. We went really well. I've been getting a lot of comments from the public that were there. A lot of people calling me, people seeing me around town, talking to me. So it was very positive and went really well. That's all I have.
Great. Any questions for Martin? None? Thank you, Martin. All right. move over to community chest in the library for Eric Sean.
Good morning. For the record, Eric Sean with Community Chest and Historic County Library. First of all, apologies. I have one hearing aid that's only working at half strength, so if I need to speak louder, please let me know. It's hard for me to hear if I'm talking loud enough. So just a few random updates to keep you posted of how things are developing, how things are moving along. Mostly good news to share. In 2019, our library cardholders, the number increased from 75 to 139, so almost 100% increase. We attribute a lot of that due to a lot of cross-programming that we do with the youth programs that we have over at the center. So the youth who are coming over and taking advantage and participating in our programs are getting a lot of exposure to the library. As well, I think for the adult users, they really appreciate the e-platforms that we have, the Audible books that we have that people can listen to while they're driving. If you have not yet downloaded the Libby app in your cardholder, you should. You will become addicted quickly. It's hard not for me to not drive and have a book playing. Actually, right now I'm listening to The Big Bonanza by Daniel Crouch, which is, if you've been here any time in Virginia City, it's a great book to read. I've been here 23 years and I didn't know much of that detailed history, so just a little bit of a sell there. Our medical clinic saw 332 patients with almost 699 visits in 2018, so we could think of all of those visits. They did not have to go off the hill. They were able to have their needs met here in Virginia City, so that's huge. Our early childhood education center, we have about 15 or 16 little kiddos enrolled, which is great. We still have about 7 or 8 full-time slots. If you're doing the math, you would think that, wait a minute, that exceeds the number of slots that we have. Some of those 15 or 16 are part-time, so we still have, if people are looking for a place to have all-day daycare, we have 7 or 8 slots, so please help us get the word out. We are still trying to recruit. And last but not least, I'm going to let you all know that you guys hit the ball out of the park when you hired Laura to fill Sherry's seat as community relations director. When Sherry left, it was hard to think of how we would fill her shoes, and I could not think of a better replacement than Laura. So thank you for making such a great choice. I look forward to working with Laura. I think the future is bright for the work that she'll be responsible for.
Any questions, Bert?
Thanks, sir.
All right. Thank you so much.
And our representative from Lockwood LLC, Edna Cudworth.
We're just here to sign papers.
Okay, great. Exactly.
I will say one thing, but can I stand here, please? I want to talk about this.
If you want to talk, I'm going to have to have you come to the microphone simply so we can get it recorded. Otherwise, we get in the doghouse with our friends downstairs that have to transcribe all of this.
I just wanted to tell the commissioners we have a letter that everybody is signing, and this is about the off ramp. We have so far sent in 200. I want to thank Louise Pena, Marilee Miller. Everybody is just really helping us a lot. And Beth. And I want to thank them all. And it's going to be a success. And I'm just here to sign papers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for ramrodding this, Edna.
Yeah.
All righty. So why don't we speak to our new community relations director, Laura Mather.
Good morning. It's with honor that I say for the record, Laura Mather, community relations coordinator. Today's my 8th day, so I don't have a whole lot to report. But I did want to say that I am definitely diving in with both feet. I attended the Nevada Emergency Preparedness Association conference last week, where I was able to meet with a lot of the organizations and individuals that I will be working with on the emergency management side of what I'm doing. I also have lots of meetings scheduled so that I can work with and get to know and meet all of the different organizations and people that I will be working with on the community relations side of what I do. I'm going to continue with the tradition of reporting at each meeting to everyone on what's going on in our community. Sort of on a side note, I'm still, the Fourth Ward School Museum is right towards the end of their CCCHP grant with regard to the restoration of the south and west side of the mansard section of the roof. So I will be monitoring that and making sure that the paperwork is filed and completed. I've had some concerns about the color of the mansard roof. It is a horrible orange. That is temporary. It is a primer paint that they're putting on first. It's a horrific color. After they get that done and finalized, they will be painting it with the official dark burgundy traditional school colors. So I wanted to let everybody know that the hideous orange that's on there is temporary in case anybody has any concerns. So as of today, that's everything that I have.
St. Mary's steeple at one time had that orange on it too, so yeah. People thought it was going to be permanent.
Yes.
Any questions for Laura?
I've had some concerns on.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Mather. All right. Story County Senior Center. Stacey York.
Stacey York for the record. Just a couple save the dates. We have our radon presentation at the Senior Center this Thursday at 1 o'clock. So if you have any questions on radon, that's your chance to get them answered. And the Senior Center is also hosting a blood drive March 27th in our parking lot. If you want to be a donor, sign up on battalion.com. Sorry. Yeah, please donate blood. We're really low right now after the holidays and they're in need. We're trying to get at least 3 done in the community per year. So this is number 1 for the year. Any questions?
When is that blood drive?
March 27th. And it's like 9 to 3. Okay. 10 to 3, I lied.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stacey. All right. The Lockwood Senior Center, Beth Gibb.
Nothing
today, thank you. Thank you, Beth. Okay. All things with underground water. Mike Nevin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Mike Nevin. Just give you a couple updates here on projects that we're working with, both the Gold Hill wastewater and the Hillside Tank, which is water phase 2. The written report was received from Nova Geotechnical and has been submitted. We have taken any and all conclusions from the report and into consideration for the final engineering plans, drawings, and the bid packet information. Jason and myself meet with the team at Far West tomorrow afternoon to go over the finalization of all the information that is going to be necessary to finally get this out to bid. We had a requirement by NDOT, which was addressed by the county manager, that we submit in writing our intent to, they call it a permission to construct, because we will be tying a new service or a new main line connection into the highway there. On 342, it's what's I commonly refer to as Ophir Grade Road. It's actually West South Street. That's where the tie-in currently is, and that's where the new tie-in will be in the same location. But because they have prescriptive rights for the maintenance of that section, they require require that the county submit that letter, which Austin has done. So pending our meeting tomorrow, things go well, we should be able to get this finally put out to bid, so that'll be nice. The Gold Hill Wastewater Plant, on your agenda later in the meeting, is the agenda item to consider and approve, hopefully, the procurement of the equipment for this project, and we're looking forward to getting that approval today so we can proceed. And then I'll leave my comments for the agenda item regarding that. So. Okay. Pretty much it, unless you've got a question.
Any questions for Mike?
Good.
Great, thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
All right. In attendance today, we also have our SVP representative, Lisa Pena.
Louise Pena with RSVP, the field representative for Lockwood River District. First of all, I'd like to thank Story County for the support of RSVP. We do have an open house going for RSVP this Thursday at 1 o'clock in hopes that not only do we show them, I have officials coming from Carson City, hopefully to educate the public out there on what RSVP has more, because we have more to offer than just transportation. With the needs of the people, where we have requests for someone to help with respite care, housekeeping, we got a couple of them that want companionship, somebody to just check in on them and spend some time with them. That's all a part of RSVP, if we can get it all going and following the volunteers. And like I said, that's this Thursday at 1 o'clock. I'd also like to make a special thank you for Beth, who's really reserved. And yet she's working her bottom off trying to with the people in Lockwood. Everywhere I go, I hear how excited they are, because she's helping people with getting things they need, the grants that she's got. We also, under Beth's direction, is we have a oddball potluck this Friday, or the 29th, which is oddball, because it's leap year, and it's an oddball, odd state. So we have a project with the kids going for, they're going to make leprechaun traps at the park, and then with a pot of gold, potluck that night for the families. So Beth's keeping us busy, and I get a lot of referrals that she has sent me for help, and I appreciate it tremendously, and thank you for hiring her.
Right. Thank you, Louise. Director of Public Works, Jason Wierzbicki.
Nothing there today, Mr. Director.
Thanks, Jason. Our Director of IT, James Dean.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Our over at the Planning Department, Senior Planner, Kathy Cantfield.
Nothing today, thank you.
Oh. County Fire Chief, Jeff Nevin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's
the report. Thank you, Jeff. Director of Communications, Dave Ballard.
I have nothing to report yet.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. Over at the Comptroller's Office, Jennifer McCain.
Nothing right now. Thank you, Chairman.
Right. Thank you. Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
County Manager, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a couple things. Our budget team working with Jen Chapman, and our team will be Jen Chapman, Jen McCain, and Jesse Fain, and myself, and others will be meeting with all of the departments here pretty soon. I'll let Jennifer explain in detail when it's her turn to speak. We'll be working with, just like normal, line item budgeting and going through all of the different parts that are needed for this year and seeing where we go before we come to this board. And this board did ask for periodic updates along the way, so we'll be happy to do that. You'll see some surveying south of Virginia City and a little bit of Gold Hill. I talked to Scott Joe Culver and Corrado DeGaspers from Comstock Mining, and they did, you know, confirm that, yeah, Comstock is doing some surveying there to look at potential underground workings, potentially a tunnel or something 1,000 feet below us in this area. No surface operations, but if they actually, and the surveying is really related just to drilling. If they do any drilling in those areas, they've agreed they'll come to us for a special use permit, go to the Planning Commission and go through that process. But there's nothing on file at this time. There's a notice that went on doorknobs throughout Gold Hill and parts of South Virginia City. We sent a notice this morning. It will also go out on Facebook. Is for a power outage that will happen tomorrow on the 19th from 8 to 4. The power may not be off for the entire time, but it'll be intermittently off as NV Energy's working on some utilities in that area. And community development, public works are all set up and communications with generators and, you know, getting ready for that. You'll see hashtag story facts popping up quite a bit. We're going to, anytime there's a blast of some piece of information like what I just said, that the community is just one little sentence of something they need to know, we'll just start hashtagging story facts. So if anybody wants to query that online, they can do that. And you'll see that pop up periodically. And, you know, just for various pieces of news. And then I just also want to welcome Laura on our team. She has inherited just a tremendous amount of work on our first week, including finding, getting herself situated in an office, possibly situated in another office, taking on the budget, one of the most complex department budgets that we have, and just the abundance of projects that she has in filling Sherry's shoes. I'm very excited working with her, and our team is too. I think she'll be amazing for us. So thank you for coming on board. And that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions for Austin?
No.
Deputy Clerk Stevens? Nothing today? All right. That's it. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for looking up for me. That concludes our committee and staff reports, which will move us on to item number 6. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. I'll start with the far end of the table with Commissioner Gilman.
Nothing today, thank you.
Thank you, Lance. Vice Chairman Carmona.
Nothing today, Chairman.
Okay. I've got just a couple of things. The first thing I'm going to do is this was submitted to me, and it's the passing of one of our long-time residents in Gold Hill. And it reads as follows, so it's about Mimi Patrick. So, Mimi passed away last weekend, which was 2 weekends ago, on either the 1st or the 2nd. She lived in Gold Hill for many years. She was an amazing and well-known pottery and folk artist with beautiful art studio and a clever, unique mind and artistic style. She was dedicated to her community and served on several boards in VC over the years, including the Tourism Board, the Historic Fourth Ward School, and was also a critically important director of St. Mary's Art Center for years, responsible for execution of significant restoration work of the property. She is survived by one daughter and one son and many dear friends. So, I knew Mimi, not all that well, but she was a figure in Gold Hill and in Virginia City. So, it's good to go ahead and mention the passing of people who've made an impact on the community that they lived in. So she definitely was one who gave back to her community. The next note is going to be our next regular scheduled meeting for March the 2nd. We're going to have to cancel that. Lance is going to be at National NACO. And Austin and I have to attend another meeting. So what we will do, we'll cancel that. If we have anything that's important or that we need to really address, we'll probably schedule it on the Wednesday following that. But we will go ahead, we will post it as necessary. But as of right now, the next Tuesday meeting will be canceled. Moving along now to item number 7. This is discussion for possible action. The acceptance of dedication of non-exclusive easement for use and maintenance of the Perry Ranch Road between Lockwood Community Corporation and Story County. You'll take this? Okay. Mr. Osborne will handle this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, Austin Osborne for the record. This is essentially Lockwood's arterial road. This commission had given direction in the past to take some of the funds we have available and to do projects across the county. And the one that's most important in the Lockwood area is Perry Ranch Road from about Canyon Way over to the school. What this will do is that road happens to be located on private property owned by the Lockwood Community Corporation, the LCC. We're just creating an easement on that property. They will still own the road, but that easement will allow and require that the county will then maintain that road, will enforce law on the road, and it can enforce items in the easement such as a 10 or 15 mile an hour speed limit, a 10,000 pound gross vehicle weight limit for the bridge and this portion of the road, and some other things that the LCC wanted to have happen. There's an element in this when this gets approved that work that the LCC did last summer in paving this segment of the road, we will reimburse them for that portion of the road segment pavement. And that's all I have at this point.
Okay. Thanks, Austin.
You're welcome.
We'll open this up for public comment. Public comment regarding this item? All right. Any questions from the board?
Just glad to see it's happening.
Yeah, very good. All right, then if you'll entertain a motion to approve.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Jay Carmona, move to approve acceptance of dedication of non-exclusive easement for use and maintenance of Perry Ranch Road between Lockwood Community Corporation and Story County. This easement enables Story County to maintain, repair, enforce regulation, and utilize Perry Ranch Road from Canyon Way to Louise Perry Park as desired by the LCC community.
I'll second your motion.
Right. Move to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Moving along to item number 8, discussion for possible action, acceptance of dedication of non-exclusive access easement and use and maintenance of garbage truck turnaround between Lockwood Community Corporation and Story County. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, once again, Austin Osborne for the record. In 2019, this board and us negotiated with Waste Management, and one of the items in the franchise agreement approved by the board and Waste Management is to create an easement over what I call the upper or the lower bench road inside the Lockwood Community Corporation, which is privately owned, in order for Waste Management to and agree to provide curbside trash pickup on that road. They had asked us to provide for a turnaround for their trucks. We worked with the LCC in providing our ability to develop and maintain this turnaround area. That portion of it will be on private property by the LCC. This will enable that to happen. Once this is completed, then Waste Management then will resume curbside pickup in that area. Our public works director has worked with Waste Management team and the LCC folks on determining what will be needed here. They're prepared to build that this spring once this easement allows for that.
Very good. Thanks, Austin. Open this up for public comment.
I'd just like to interject.
If you want to say something, sir, just come on up to the podium and identify yourself for the record. That way we can get everything documented. Thank you.
Tom Minkler from Lockwood. Is there going to be a road, an access road out of that turnaround for fire? I just want to make sure that's in there.
No, there will not. That'll almost be a cul-de-sac or hammerhead, however you want to call it. There'll actually be a retaining wall at that point in order to make it flat enough. Our team seemed to be okay with the way this is being developed.
And the fire department's okay with it? Is it?
Chief Nevin is here if he feels he wants to speak to that item or not.
Well, just sit down.
Sure.
Okay. For the record, Jeff Newman, we have discussed this. What's currently there is not accessible for any of our fire apparatus, so I think making this a turnaround point would make it a lot easier. So.
Okay. Very good. Great. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Any additional public comment?
There is a road right down that waste management used to come down, but isn't that going to be paved so that they can come down that road?
Okay. I'll answer that if you like, if you're ready enough. No. So right now, we have, during our negotiations, have talked about that with waste management. Can they get a truck to go down that? Jason from Public Works had met with their engineering team to see is the type of truck they have. Can they get up and down that? It would be impossible to get up and almost impossible to get down. And they said they won't even try it
because
it's too steep. But they did say if you just create a turnaround so they can essentially back in, back out, and drive back out straight and not have to back down that entire bench road. They were okay with that. And that's what would be developed in this case.
Is the county going to pave that one part of the road?
That will go away. So when you go to the end of the bench road, there will be like a cul-de-sac there, and there will be a good size retaining wall.
Okay.
You know, there won't be, you won't be able to go off that at all.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
It's kind of a Jeep trail now, the way it is. Thank you.
Okay. Additional public comment?
I just want to thank Edna and Tom and everybody down there. A lot of work went into going back and forth on these drafts, as well as with Keith, the DA's office. Thank you all for your cooperation in this. I'm happy to help, and we also appreciated the help.
Sure. Well, this is going to make for a nice improvement down there, and it's going to go ahead and alleviate some of the problems that residents have had of having to drag their garbage cans down below. So this was another improvement for the community. So. With that said, if I can get a motion to approve.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve acceptance of dedication of non-exclusive access easement for use and maintenance of garbage truck turnaround between Lockwood Community Corporation and Story County. This easement will enable Story County to construct, maintain, repair, and allow garbage truck access, egress, and turnaround on a segment of roadway owned by the LCC community.
Second your motion.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Move along now to item number 9. This is the discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of the equipment procurement contract between Story County and Earl Mix Systems, DBA Fluence USA, for treatment plant equipment for Gold Hill Wastewater Treatment Project, and authorize the board chairman or the county manager to sign all documents associated with said contract. In the amount of $206,750. Mr. Nevin.
Again, for the record, Mike Nevin. This was a continuation from your meeting of the 21st of January. Keith, the DA's office had a couple of concerns as to some legal questions, and he actually got those resolved within a couple of days following that meeting, but we missed the boat and didn't get it on your last agenda, unfortunately. So we're here today to hopefully get the approval. And again, this is for the package plant equipment, and it's called a procurement contract. As you recall, when we put this out to bid, basically, the bid opening date was probably one of the few winter-related weather events that we had this year, caught for the closure of Interstate 80 for off and on for a period of some time. So at the bid opening, we received no bids, so we were required through NRS to put out a 7-day notice that we would accept any thing that arrived late and or additional proposals. We did receive 3 proposals. They ranged in price from the recommended approval of the Fluence contract at $206,750 all the way upwards to $281,957 and there was a one in the middle for $274,542. The Fluence proposal is the same manufacturer of the equipment that we purchased for the Virginia City wastewater treatment facility. Well, it'd be about going on 4 years now, I guess. So when we did the review of these proposals that were received, we had the operator present as well from the county, and we're all in agreement that it'd be nice to stick with equipment that we're familiar with. So, and they are the low bid, $206,750. Once we receive your approval, then we can go ahead and get their shop drawings submitted, and they have 30 days from the date of the award of the contract to submit those to the engineer, and then we can incorporate those into the design and the bid information and get this one hopefully put out to bid relatively soon as well. I mean, one of the things that we're running into with this project, a little bit different than some of the others, we have two funding entities that we're dealing with on the federal level, federal and state, USDA, of course, the big contributor of the funding, and then also the state revolving fund, who has given us a basically, they call it a principal forgiveness loan. It's actually a grant for the $530,000 toward this project. So, you know, everything has to go through their folks, their engineering staff, to be reviewed. One of the things we run into with this project currently is the fact that our Nevada engineer for USDA, John Nelson, retired at the end of December. So everything now has to go through the western office, the closest, and that's in Wyoming. And those folks actually have been pretty much right on top of things. So, you know, they're good to work with. So we're fortunate that we have an engineering staff at that location that, you know, moves paper back and forth fairly rapidly. Also today, Alex Stodmeister with Far West is here, if you have any additional questions. But unless you have questions, we're offering our concurrence with the okay to move this forward. And I don't know if Keith has anything to say.
I would just say that you'll see in the packet materials that there's a provision for a performance bond. Fluence is asked to substitute a letter of credit for that performance bond, and the USDA, I think, has approved that, subject to approval from the DA's office. I've had a chance to look at the letter of credit, and I think it looks good.
Thanks, Keith.
And I will mention that both the funding entities are now okay with the project as well. So it's kind of a long, drawn-out contract. I realize it's like 319 pages. A lot of it doesn't apply, but nevertheless, we're required to, you know, include that, all of that documentation, you know, as part of these projects. So.
Commissioner, have any questions for Mike? Yep. We'll open up for public comment. No public comment? Making good headway on this. Mr. Carmona, if I get a motion to approve.
Hi, Jay Carmona. Move to approve the contract with Fluence USA for the purchase of treatment plant equipment for the Gold Hill Wastewater Treatment Project and authorize the chairman to sign all documents associated with the purchase.
Second.
Moving to second, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Next up is item 10, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of amendment to the interlocal agreement with NDOT for signal maintenance services by which NDOT will be authorized to pay for signal maintenance services incurred by Surrey County. Mr. Loomis.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. So you approved an amendment to the signal maintenance agreement about 2 months ago. This basically is a revision of that amendment that essentially does the same thing that one was supposed to have done. They did some paper shuffling over at NDOT and came up with the one that's before you today. The point of this is to allow NDOT to reimburse the county for the any expenses that the county incurs in maintaining the signals out there in the Tri-Center. And they're not covered by insurance or any other source.
So it sounds like this is to our advantage on this.
It is, and you've already approved it once. It's just a revision of some of the language so that they can work it within the NDOT as to how they're going to actually provide for the compensation.
Okay. Very good. Is there any questions for Keith? Is there any public comment on this item? Hearing none, get a motion to approve.
Hi, Jay Carmona, move to approve the amendment to the interlocal agreement with NDOT for signal maintenance services.
Second.
We move to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Move along to item number 11, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval for resolution 20-565, providing the termination of a non-exclusive easement provided by the Nevada Division of State Lands to Story County for maintenance of a bridge where the USA Parkway crosses the Truckee River, and providing for the execution of a quitclaim deed conveying the easement back to state lands. Mr. Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. The right now there's a provision that says that the county will maintain the bridge across the Truckee River. The NDOT has asked to essentially take that over, but because the easement granted by state lands to the county is exclusive to the county, we cannot, and it's not assignable, we cannot assign that obligation to NDOT. We have to return it to state lands, and then state lands will have it's their intention to reissue the easement to NDOT so NDOT can do that maintenance. Now, just recently, there's an agreement between the county and NDOT whereby we have agreed to maintain that roadway or the bridge, and we got an email Thursday or Friday. I was out of the office. I did get a chance to look at it, in which the engineer for NDOT is saying that that interlocal agreement, which was signed back in 2011, is not amendable. And so if we're going to change the obligation to maintain the bridge, we're going to have to do a new interlocal agreement rather than amend that existing one, which was what we had initially thought we were going to do. But we'll have to address that at a later point.
So what action are you looking for us to take today, then?
To return the easement to state lands. All approve right. The resolution. Uh, 20-565, and I can read the title in. This is a resolution declaring intention of Story County to terminate its non-exclusive bridge easement from Nevada Division of State Lands.
Right. Commissioners, have any other questions for Keith?
No questions. We definitely want to turn over the maintenance of the bridge.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve resolution number 20-565. And authorize the chairman to sign the resolution as well as a quick claim deed conveying a bridge maintenance easement back to state lands.
I'll second.
Moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 12, discussion for possible action. Approve and authorize the county manager to sign a contract between Story County and Central Nevada GIS and Cartography Services, LLC, to perform charting and inventory of roads to Story County that could meet the standard of RS-2477 designation, services not to exceed $45,000. Mr. Osborne.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record. This contract allows us to do, as suggested here, is to work with a qualified person who will inventory and map RS-2477 eligible roads, essentially those that are known to have existed prior to 1976 and have other criteria. Really, the purpose of this is in the future, by having an inventory of these roads across the county that has known, it's a book that shows the road exists and what type of road it is, and that there's evidence to suggest it existed prior to 1976. If the BLM ever in the future were to try to close these roads for whatever reasons, this provides us a defense and an inventory that those roads, we believe, would be subject to remaining open. It also would allow the DA's office and others on private properties where people want to close certain roads that may have provided access to other properties for prior to 1976 or a much longer period of time, instead of having to go through the processes that have gone through so far, you would already have that inventory in place in perpetuity. It would help staff and help the DA's office and others provide that groundwork.
Commissioners, have any additional questions for Austin?
No.
There's similar projects being conducted by Nye, Humboldt, and Washoe counties. There's other counties too. And then the State Land Use Planning Advisory Council and SLUPAC, they have recommended this with all of these counties working together for 10 years that I've been on that board.
Thanks, Austin. Is there any public comment regarding this item? This is a good project to have done. We've had some issues with people closing roads within the county, which they didn't have the authority, legal right to do. So
yeah,
it would be good to have this all inventory. Mm-hmm. That said, if we can get a motion to approve.
I, Jay Carmona, motion to authorize the county manager to sign a contract between Story County and Central Nevada GIS and Cartography Services, LLC, to perform charting and inventory of roads in Story County that could meet the standard of RS-2477 designation, services not to exceed $45,000.
I'll second.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along, item number 13, discussion for possible action. Confirmation of an interim comptroller chosen by the county manager in accordance with appointment procedures at NRS 251.170. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, Austin Osborne. NRS 250.170 says if you're going to appoint myself, appoint a comptroller or an interim comptroller in this case, that that person needs to be confirmed by this board. I have appointed Jennifer McCain to be the interim comptroller until a permanent comptroller is found, and per that, I ask that this board confirm her until further notice.
Okay. Thank you, Austin. Commissioners, any additional questions for Austin?
No question.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Okay. Hearing none, I'm going to go ahead and get a motion to approve Jennifer is the interim comptroller.
I missed my comment portion. I just wanted to thank Jennifer for stepping up and filling the void. I've heard nothing but great things about, you know, what you've done so far. So we look forward to you keeping that department afloat until we find a permanent replacement. So thank you.
Thank you.
In accordance with the procedures set forth by NRS 251.170, I, J. Carmona, motion to confirm the county manager's appointment of Jennifer McCain as an interim Story County comptroller until a permanent comptroller is appointed and confirmed.
Second.
We move to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 14, discussion for possible action. Review and possible approval directing the comptroller to notify the Nevada Department of Taxation that the county will not be changing the property tax rate for fiscal year 2020-2021.
Good morning, Jennifer McCain for the record. We need to submit a letter by February 21st informing the Department of Taxation whether we're going to keep the same tax rate or change it. So from my knowledge, we have made no attempt or research to change the rates, why I submitted a letter to keep it the same.
We haven't changed it since we've been here. As a matter of fact, I've got a list, but the rate hasn't changed in many, many years. So
I've heard over 10.
Yeah, sounds about right. Okay. Any questions for Ms. McKay?
Good.
No? Is there public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve.
I, Jay Carmona, hereby approve the comptroller to send the Nevada Department of Taxation, the attached letter notifying the Nevada Department of Taxation that property tax will remain at 3.4607% for fiscal year 2021.
I'll second your motion.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Thanks. Go along now to item number 15, discussion for possible action. Special use permit 2020-005, request by the applicant Brad and Brenda Schell to allow for a workman's dwelling for a proposed 150-space recreational vehicle RV park. The watchman's dwelling is a requirement of Chapter 8.24, Mobile Homes and Recreational Vehicles of the Story County Code. The subject property is located at 580 East Sydney Drive, within the Reno Tahoe Industrial Center, McCarran area of Story County, Nevada, and having assessor's parcel number 005-091-14. Good. Ms. McCain.
Good morning. Kathy Canfield for the record. This is a request for a special use permit for a watchman's dwelling for a proposed 150-unit RV park. Chapter 8.24 of the Story County Code requires that an RV park have management offices and a dwelling used exclusively for management on site. This property is located in the Tri-Center and is subject to the 1999 zoning code and the development agreement. RV parks aren't allowed use for the zoning district. The property itself is zoned I-2. But it did receive a commercial designation for that property. So the RV park itself isn't allowed use. It's the manager's unit or the watchman's dwelling that requires the special use permit. This application addresses just the watchman's dwelling only. The RV park has been submitted to the building department and is currently under review. And staff has reviewed the watchman's dwelling use, the accessory use, and believes that that is an appropriate use for an RV park to have that watchman's dwelling on the site. We did receive one letter in opposition from the sheriff, and it's been passed out to you, and there's some extra copies there. He's addressing concerns. These are valid concerns, but these are about the RV park itself, and not necessarily the watchman's dwelling, which is what the special use permit is for. The Planning Commission met last Thursday and had a discussion on the project. It had a fairly lengthy discussion with concerns, but it kept kind of going around in circle about the RV park versus the watchman's dwelling itself. At the end of the discussion, the Planning Commission voted 5-0 and recommending approval for the special use permit. They did have some hesitations, but realizing that they really weren't looking at the RV park, they're looking at the watchman's dwelling, and then as an accessory use, that's an appropriate use to have for an RV park. So we had a 5-0 vote of recommending approval. We had two people that were absent. The applicant, I know, is here today. I believe the sheriff is also here today if he wants to elaborate on anything that he had. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Do you have any questions for Kathy?
No questions.
All right. Would either of the applicants like to speak? Brad or Brenda?
No.
Okay. The sheriff, did you want to speak?
And you all have a copy of the letter that I submitted in regards to this, and I know it's a big swirl between the manager's quarters and the RV park, but one cannot exist without the other, which is why I wanted to address it in the SUP portion.
And the whole thing is fraught with problems. And brief conversation I had with the county manager, there are potentially some ordinance issues. I think that would be an issue that we would want to address before we get too far down this road. Not to cast aspersions, but the county has a dismal history of code enforcement. Those issues should be addressed also before we go down that road. So I say, well, I understand it's the SUP for the watchman's quarters. The park cannot exist without that. Let's fix some of the other problems before we go down that road.
Okay. Any questions for the sheriff?
No questions.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry. All right. We'll open up for public comment on this item. Mr. Thompson.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. County Manager, Mr. Deputy District Attorney, Chris Thompson, Project Manager, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. I'd like to just state for the record that we fully support the applicant, Mr. Schell, on this application. It has always been forecast that there would be some sort of RV park or parks at Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. There's been a lot of interest from folks on putting that in. It's an expensive proposition. It takes a lot of work to put such a facility in, but it's key. And I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding by those who object to this. This isn't some vacation spot where people are going to bring their families and go for hikes and rides on the bike and start roaming through the neighborhood. This particular location is outside Tesla, and it will be great for people with in the trades, for contractors, for laborers, that they can stay right there on the park and with all the construction that's going to be coming in the future for Tesla and the companies around it. I think it'll be a huge benefit for the park. And as I said, it's always been forecast that we would have RV parks of some sort to support the construction industry. I can tell you just from personal interaction between myself and this applicant, he's working hard. He's putting his own skin into this thing. And I think it would be a good thing for the park as a whole. Watchmen's quarters have always been at TRI. We've had watchmen for many years, during the early years of the park, and I know a lot of companies out there do, so it shouldn't be any issue about whether watchmen's quarters are called for or not. But thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Amos Thompson. All right.
Marshall, I need a minute to confer with Keith.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, why don't you come on up to the podium, but why don't you wait for the district attorney and the commissioner to return, okay, Jim? Okay.
For the record, Jim Hindle, and coming before you today in my role as chair of the Story County Planning Commission. Just to reiterate that the Planning Commission did vote in approval of this for sending it to for your consideration. And by the merits of the SUP application, clearly, because of the code, this makes sense to do for this type of a development within the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. But we did have considerable discussion, and if you'll give us a little latitude, it's more addressing the discussion, as Kathy highlighted, more address the issue of an RV park in this area within the industrial center. And we highlighted, number one, that we thought that there was some conflict in the code. And so I wanted to highlight to you today that we kind of asked staff to look at code, because if indeed an RV park is an approved application or an approved development within this area, the fact that the watchman's drilling had to be a supplemental or an SUP didn't make a whole lot of sense to us. It should, if you can do the RV part, you ought to be able to have some type of a management quarters on site. And so we think that that needs to be something that's investigated within the code. More of our discussion surrounded the fact that we feel that Chapter 8 and the fact that you can have a RV park within the industrial center, within the industrial area of the industrial center, the commercial application, seem to be somewhat in conflict with our master plan because of what this could mean for future applications and future development. We thought that certainly this is the applicant is going about this the right way. The applicant has an opportunity, and the code allows for that opportunity. We're not questioning that. However, we are looking at it by saying that in some ways, extended stay, transient, this has a residential feel to it. And within the master plan, we fairly specifically highlighted areas within the county that we wanted to have this type of development or this type of direction and development. Within the commercial core of the industrial center could make a lot of sense. Within the industrial area of the industrial center, this may have some conflict, may not fit. Clearly, within the industrial center's plan, this is an approved application. We're just concerned as to what this could mean as we are looking at residential or looking at this type of development and its fit with our master plan long term. So we're going to be discussing some of that with staff's assistance just to make sure that we're looking at where development is going in this county. And because of the resource and the potential conflicts of land use, we want to make sure that people are investing in this type of application in the right areas and that our code supports that. So we just wanted to highlight that to you as a board today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Handel. And we hear that. Staff hears that. So I know we're going to be looking at this going forward. Austin, you want to weigh in?
Sure, I'll go up.
Chairman, I think this maybe this is better for Kathy. Kathy, do you know if they started construction on the RV park itself?
They have not received their permits from the building department. I think they have done some. I do know that they have done some grading work out there. Mm-hmm. I believe the building department has been out there to determine what things needed permits or not, and they haven't said that anything that they've done so far has required their permits yet.
Okay.
It's not operational or anything close to that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Austin Osborne, for the record. As I penned the master plan in the past, I felt I should say something, but I'm really not going to say a lot because the application here today is only regarding a watchperson's dwelling that has been in the code since 1999, and the purpose of it is just what it says. You can have a watchman's dwelling at the Walmart facility or at a trucking facility or wherever it might be. And really, I think we would know the principal purpose is for a person to be able to be on an industrial site or, in this case, a RV site to keep an eye on things and make sure things don't get stolen and make sure whatever happens does or doesn't. So I'm really only going to be specific to that. I just want to remind us, you know, there's a Studio 6 out there, 28-day or stay per our codes. This RV park will be 28-day stay or per our codes. And the watchperson's dwelling, we don't believe, is a residential use. But there were very good comments made today, and at a later time, we'll certainly be happy to discuss how this board would like to treat all codes in the county. Thank you.
Austin?
Yes.
Are there any watchman's quarters currently within the park already?
Not any that I'm aware that are under permitted special use permit. There may be somebody out there watching a construction site or something like that. I don't know if the building department might know of any nuisance cases or anything like that that are open, but I'm not aware of any.
Can I ask the owners to come up?
Mr. Chairman, Brad Schell.
Thanks. So I'm curious, would your watchman's quarters, are you going to have any sort of security on site? I mean, are they going to play that role?
That's my watchman.
Okay, and he will?
Man and wife team, normally. Mm-hmm.
stay on site. All the time they'd leave is when we had relief for them. They'd be checking people in and out, keeping the rent rolls current, making sure there's nothing going on there, domestic violence, anything like that. Just keep it clean.
Do you guys own a facility like this elsewhere?
I have a 298-unit mini storage and stagecoach. I have a watchman on site there. She's been there for 16 years.
Okay.
It's a requirement of the county. I don't see how you could run a place like that without a watchman. Almost every RV park you go to, from Washington State to Arizona, every place has a watchman. Not only a watchman, but someone there to greet people, make sure that that type of RV that you want to have in your facility. That's got to be checked. Everyone has to have a working bathroom. It's got to be a certain standard for us to all have it in there.
I mean, I agree with you. You know, but every place I've been to, the watchman usually lives in their own RV. Rather than, at least the ones I've seen, I haven't been to every RV park in the U.S., but, you know, they seem to live in their own RV and then, you know, transition out if they need to, so.
We're looking for more of a person that will be with us for the next 15, 20 years, that knows the business and knows what we expect of them. More of a style. We don't want to have a watchman here for 6 months, change out, have another one for 6 months. Our watchmen will know all the police, you know, when they do their rounds through there. We'd rather have that kind of a setup.
Yeah. Thank you.
Brad, we're only talking about the watchman's quarters today, but was your project in general, does it come without controversy? Now, the sheriff has concerns over, you know, crime in the park. I'm sure that the school district might have concerns, too, if people are bringing their children and they're going to put them in school.
We're not going to be a children-friendly park. We're not going to have that. There's no way to get a bus from the industrial park to any school. I don't see where industrial workers that are there, guys are welders, craftsmen, they're there for 3-4 months and back and gone again. That's not a good environment for kids.
No, it's not, and that's what the concerns are. I mean, these are just questions that it's never been brought up before because you're the first one out there to want to do something like that. But the concerns are of creating a low-rent neighborhood, you know, that requires services from the county.
We're hoping to be a standalone. We don't want to have many services other than sewer, water, and power from the county. We'd like to be kind of like stuck in our own little corner and people come and go as they please and not have any police interaction, not have any problems with our rent rolls or paying a room tax or any of that.
It would appear to me this is not a mobile home park. This is an RV park.
This is RV park only.
It's for transient folks that come through, and it has a limit of time that they can stay.
Yes.
So there's not a conversation to have about residency, and that's why the 28-day stay is put in place for an RV park.
That's correct, Lance.
Yes.
You're good. Great. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment regarding this item? If hearing none, it's recommended by staff to approve this. If there's no objections, I'll ask Kathy to go ahead and read the findings of fact for motion to approve.
Before I read those, but there was a suggestion that we include an additional finding, which is actually the condition J of the staff report, which talks about the watchman's dwelling being accessory use. And if you're okay with that, as far as the findings go, this condition reads, the proposed watchman's dwelling is considered an accessory use to the recreational vehicle park. As an accessory use, the watchman's dwelling shall not be operated independently from the recreational vehicle park. The accessory use shall be operated concurrently with the recreational vehicle park and shall not be considered an independent use. The watchman's dwelling shall be utilized exclusively for management of the recreational vehicle park. Only personnel associated with the management of the park shall be eligible to occupy the watchman's dwelling consistent with section 8.24.030.C. So we could maybe suggest adding that to the list of findings.
Are you guys good with that?
I'm good.
Okay.
Good. Okay. So the findings for a motion for approval. Special use permit 2020-005 is a request to allow for a watchman's dwelling for a proposed 150-space recreational vehicle RV park. The watchman's dwelling is a requirement of Chapter 8.24, Mobile Homes and Recreational Vehicles of the Story County Code. The subject property is located at 580 East Sydney Drive within the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, McCarran, Story County, Nevada, and having assessor's parcel number 005-091-14. The special use permit conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the McCarran planning area in which the subject property is located. A discussion supporting this finding for the special use permit is provided in Section 2.D of this staff report, and the contents thereof are cited in an approval of this special use permit. The special use permit complies with the general purpose, goals, objectives, and standards of the county master plan, the zoning ordinance, and any other plans, program, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to the official notice by the county. The proposal location, size, height, operations, and other significant features will be compatible with and will not cause substantial negative impact on adjacent land uses or will perform a function or provide a service that is essential to the surrounding land uses, community, and neighborhood. The special use permit will result in no substantial or undue adverse effect on the adjacent property, the character of the neighborhood, traffic conditions, parking, public improvements, public sites or right-of-way, or other matters affecting the public health, safety, and general welfare, either as they now exist or as they may in the future be developed as a result of the implementation of the provisions and policies of the county master plan. This title and any other plans, program, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to an official notice by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction to guide growth and development. The proposed use in the proposed area will be adequately served by and will impose no undue burden on any of the improvements, facilities, utilities, or services provided by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction in the county. The special use permit with the recommended conditions of approval complies with the minimum requirements in the 1999 Story County Zoning Ordinance, Section 17.37(I)(2) Heavy Industrial and 17.62 Special Uses. And the proposed watchman dwelling is considered an accessory use to the recreational vehicle park. As an accessory use, the watchman's dwelling shall not be operated independently from the recreational vehicle park. The accessory use shall be operated concurrently with the recreational vehicle park and shall not be considered an independent use. The watchman's dwelling shall be utilized exclusively for management of the recreational vehicle park. Only personnel associated with management of the park shall be eligible to occupy the watchman's dwelling consistent with section 8.24.030.C.
Thank you, Kathy. That's it. We can get a motion to approve.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3A of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Jay Carmona, move to approve Special Use Permit 2020-005, a request to allow a watchman's dwelling for a proposed 150-space recreational vehicle park. The watchman's dwelling is a requirement of Chapter 8.24 of the Story County Code. The subject property is located at 580 East Sydney Drive within the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center in McCarran, Story County, Nevada, having assessor's parcel number 005-091-14.
I'll second.
Moving to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Moving along now to item number 16, discussion of possible action, review and possible approval of a memorandum of understanding between Comstock Mining and Story County related to special use permit amendment
2000-222-A-4 and as amended by SUP 2000-222-A-6-2018. Condition 8.5. The MOU is referenced in condition 8.5 to document the monetary contribution to historic preservation and or restoration project within the historic district of Scurry County. Ms. Canfield.
Thank you. So this MOU relates back to the 2014 special use permit for the Comstock mining activities in Gold Hill. Condition 8.5 identifies the requirement for this MOU. This formalizes the condition of the permit regarding monetary contributions to historic preservation. This condition has been in effect since 2014, but the formal documentation of the condition in the MOU format was overlooked and is being addressed right now. In December 2018, the board modified condition 8.5 to exclude future projects in Lyon County. And this MOU includes the provision that any monies that were spent prior to that December 2018 date that had met the original conditions of approval would still be applicable. We did receive one inquiry from a member of the public, and that's been passed out to you, and there's actually a copy there for the audience. That inquiry is related to the auditing of Condition 8.5, about monies generated and the monies that have been spent. That audit is still ongoing. However, the audit itself and whatever results occur from that does not impact the requirement to formalize the special use permit condition in the MOU. So that MOU is in front of you today, and I can answer any questions.
Okay. Any public comment regarding this item? We'll go to the public first. I want to give the commissioners a chance to go ahead and read the letter first. Do you have any questions for Kathy?
Not specifically.
Want to weigh in on this offer?
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record. So you have in front of you a piece of correspondence just to make sure that is part of the record. The public has a copy, too. It is my response back to Eric Overmeyer, who's a Silver City resident. Nonetheless, he inquires periodically about Comstock's various things. This is the last of the communications. He had asked, what is the status of our audit, or really more of an assessment, not necessarily a full audit, to make sure that money has left Comstock Mining into the foundation and that the money has left the foundation and gone into historic preservation. We do believe at this time, that at least 1% of net smelter review by the Comstock Mining has, in fact, done this. But we wanted to do a review and an assessment of this per the special use permit condition. That assessment is still ongoing, and we've worked, or I've worked with Scott and Corrado, finding that with some departure in our staff, that we would rather actually have a CPA, a qualified, licensed person, do a review of these items, including analysis of all the documentation that's already been provided to our office by Comstock, and then make that determination, and that our office and the comptroller's office can interface with that CPA to ask some questions, make sure we're comfortable with it. As that condition originally stood in 2014, some of that money could go to Silver City because it's part of the Comstock, and as you see, the Donovan Mill works that have been restored, as well as the East Yellow Jacket works that have been restored by the Gold Hill Hotel and other projects. We believe this has occurred, but this assessment is ongoing. I did tell Comstock that once the assessment's complete, we will come back to this board and give a summary of the results of that assessment to show that everything is good. Essentially, what we have today is just to create the MOU that was supposed to be created in 2014, and to move on with that, but everything will be retroactive to make sure everything's good. The condition of the special use permit, at least that we believe, has been complied with so far. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Austin? I'll open up once more time to see if there's any public comment on the right side of it. Hearing none, I get a motion to approve this MOU.
Yep. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the Memorandum of Understanding between Comstock Mining, LLC, and Story County, documenting Comstock Mining, LLC's contribution to historic preservation and or restoration as documented in the Special Use Permit Amendment 2000-222-A-4 as amended in Special Use Permit Amendment 2000-222-A-6-2018 as it relates to Condition 8.5.
I'll second.
Moved in second to approve this MOU. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along to item number 17, discussion for possible action. Approval of business license second readings, A through G.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Community Development does recommend approval of all businesses second reading, A through G.
Is there any public comment regarding these second readings? Hearing none, if we get a motion to approve.
I move to approve business license A through G.
Second.
We move to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 18. It's now for public comment. Any public comment today? Come on up.
Louise Pena, Lockwood resident. I'm not sure that the commission is aware completely of the disaster that went down over the weekend within Lockwood. We had two semis that were, according to the drivers of the semis, they were directed by the highway patrol to come down and exit, make a detour through our communities. Whether it's LCC or Rainbow Bend, our streets are not wide enough for a semi. We had two semis stuck on our streets at Circle Cerise and Blue Declare, which are two very narrow streets. The one property owner, she took pictures. I don't even know how they got out of there. But here again, we have the issue of semis being and traffic being diverted through our communities. They're both private property communities. I don't know what can be done. I know that at the town hall, the sheriff said that he would make sure that we had a deputy there that would stop that from happening. And when they called the deputy, he was in TRI again. They did get one of our resident deputies to come and help. But the problem is damage was done to property. And our streets are too narrow for this. We'd appreciate any kind of help that our county can give us to stop this. I'm a very big advocate that we are a big enough residential area and have a lot of issues that we should be, and I don't know how to put it nicely, but we deserve to have patrol by the deputies, not by our private patrol, that's a big issue anyway, whether that's Eagle, but by the deputies of Story County in Lockwood, 24/7, 365. That's my goal, and I'm sticking to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Louise. Go ahead.
When you're ready. All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The only thing I can say, not speaking from law enforcement at all, I'd be happy to, on behalf of the county, draft a letter to the NHP and asking if there's some way they can inform their folks, however they do, to not direct that kind of traffic down this area. I can do that, and then I'd defer otherwise for any other comment. Thank you.
Thanks, Austin. Good.
We have had conversations with Highway Patrol about this in the past. Contact with one of those truck drivers, the one that hit the fire hydrant, had already left the area, so we didn't have any contact with him. The other driver, we helped get him out of the neighborhoods. He said that it was his GPS that routed him around through there. So with the easement now on Perry Ranch, once that's all signed, I know it's an issue we've talked about with signage and everything. You know, it's something that we need to make happen. As far as having a resident deputy in Lockwood Rainbow Bend 24 hours a day, that's just not economically feasible. But that's why I did keep the substation there in Lockwood rather than looking at moving it out into the industrial area. The deputies are in and out of there all the time, but unfortunately, we can't be there 24 hours a day. But we can't do anything about the GPS. We've communicated the concerns with Highway Patrol on multiple occasions. And, yes, in this instance, I was able to draw on the deputy who actually resides there in the community to come out and help because the deputy who was on duty was out handling issues in the park. So,
is this a frequent problem in the
Hit and miss. I mean, I can't tell you. It depends on how bad traffic is backed up on the interstate. I know I've gotten called several times, and we get people on it as soon as I get a call. So,
Sheriff, are there any neighborhoods in Story County that are or do have around-the-clock deputy service?
The county is split in half, and you have North and South County. The deputies on the south end of the county cover Virginia City, Gold Hill, the Highlands, and Mark Twain. They cover that entire area. The deputies on the north end of the county cover Lockwood, the industrial center, and Painted Rock. So, no individual area has a deputy assigned to it. The cost would be astronomical to try and have deputies assigned 24/7 to each area.
Understand.
So, questions?
So is there signage already there that says no truck traffic, like on Canyon Way?
There has been some signage in the past on the bridges. Mm-hmm. I can't speak off the top of my head memory-wise whether there's something now going into Rainbow Bend or not, but with the easement on Perry Ranch, my recommendation would be right when you cross the river and right when you hit the easement portion of Perry Ranch, put up a great big billboard, say local traffic only, trucks prohibited.
Yeah.
I see it's interesting. I spend a lot of time there in the north. And when there's a major accident on I-80, sometimes tied up for an hour or 3 hours, we have traffic all over every dirt road out there in the county. They're looking for ways off the freeway to circumvent being stuck in traffic. And I think it'll be an ongoing problem unless we can figure out how to put some kind of a control area there that would, because Lockwood is going to be impacted. I think the cars are going to try to make it. The trucks are going to try to make it. And it's a ongoing problem.
And we have talked about it. I believe we even touched on it here in the past in the commission. I know that the deputy district attorney and I have had conversations about it. Not a whole lot we can do with the normal traffic, cars and pickup trucks, normal vehicles. Definitely can't be having all of the semi-traffic, commercial vehicles in and out of there.
I think there's a weight limit sign on the bridge coming in.
Yes.
Coming into Lockwood.
But that's not always followed either, right? Somebody took out a guardrail a while back.
Yeah, that was a little cool.
Okay.
Our bridge can't take the weight.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, sir.
You know, perhaps we could ask staff to formulate a bit of a study group and we could concentrate on this a little bit with MDOT and with Highway Patrol and see if there's something available to our community that could be enforced. I see it until the accident problems on I-80 are resolved, and I don't know that we'll ever see that in our lifetime, we're going to have traffic problems out there when there's major accidents.
So I guess you could take that as direction from Commissioner Gilman.
I mean, people look for a shortcut.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's an anthill on the dirt roads.
Mm-hmm. Okay, additional public comment.
I'll give you my name this time, Edna Cudworth.
Thank you.
Treasurer at LCC. I have to commend the sheriff because I have called him a lot of times because I see the 18-wheelers coming down our road. But at 3:30 in the afternoon, we have children getting out of school, and they have no compassion for these kids at all. They have no compassion for anything. In fact, Story County had to fix a bridge of ours because an 18-wheeler cut it too short and tore it out. So there's got to be something that we can do. And I hope the easement that we're going to sign is going to take care of some of that, that, you know, the sheriff department has the authority to stop them and give them tickets. But the minute there's an accident, the 18-wheelers start because they're on a schedule. And FedEx, who is down by us, is one of the worst. So I don't know if somebody could help us call FedEx and tell them. But they're one of the worst, and they're right down there because they want to get home. So, thank you.
Thanks, Ed. You can contact them. Send a letter.
We can't put a gate, right? Like, close a gate if there was an accident, like on Perry Ranch.
Well, that's been a problem in the past, of people closing gates on Perry Ranch.
No, but I mean, if that's our road now, can we do that?
Well, it's not going to be our road.
I mean,
let's talk about that.
Okay.
Maybe we can have a conversation and come back. Yeah. All right. Additional public comment. Mr. Joe Cover.
Is this not a point, or is this public comment?
This is anything you want to talk about.
Boy, you gave him a lot of latitude there.
Yeah.
For the record.
He can remember what he wanted to talk about.
Yeah. For the record, Scott Jalkover. I just wanted to make a couple of comments. You know, earlier you passed the MOU on Comstock Mining. Comstock Mining spent over $1 million between 2012 and 2016 that went into the foundation from royalties. One of their first projects was the Upper Yellow Jacket. Over $120,000 was spent there. For those of you not familiar with it, that's what you see coming or going on the train if you go into Gold Hill. It's located just north and west of the Gold Hill Hotel. It's the Yellow Jacket Hoist and Chute Works. Ron James, who I'm sure most of you remember, literally came out of retirement as the former State Historical Preservation Officer to lead the foundation when it was formed with his vision for big and small projects on the Comstock. Funds have been deployed to the Gold Hill Depot, St. Mary's, the 4th Ward, to name a few, many under $10,000 all through Virginia City. Ron James said it was not ideal, but bought the Donovan Mill to save it from being scrapped. It's one of the most complete stamp mills on the Comstock, where the cyanide Merrill-Crowe process was perfected around 1907 and still used globally in mining today. Over 80 volunteers work at the restoration of that mill, which is a gateway into the Comstock in Virginia City from Highway 50. If you've not stopped in to see the works that have been accomplished, you need to. I know the county manager has. Since 2016, the foundation has spent almost as much as it did from the royalty without a penny paid in from Comstock mining royalties. Some of the donors are John Snow Foundation, Barrick Gold, NV Energy, Briggs Electric, and Lee Halliday, one of the largest private shareholders in Newmont Mining. So yes, I find it personally offensive when Eric Obermeyer from Silver City and the Comstock Residents Association through their legal counsel in court allege it's a money laundering scheme.
Thank you. Okay. Continuing on. Public comment. No one else? That, we're going to go ahead and adjourn until the next to be determined date for commission hearing.